Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. As always, I am your co-host, Herms, joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Tyler Orzynski, a.k.a. Tyler O. And today, we are talking all things ADP, but specifically, a handful of running backs and receivers who are being drafted within the first five rounds that fantasy managers should avoid at cost this season. Because, you know, Tyler, when it comes to putting together a winning fantasy football team, the best thing that you can do in drafts is make sure that you are, to some degree, maximizing values. And what you have done in an article that you had come out on ftnfantasy.com that I will have a link to in the description for everybody to go check out and, you know, to read about some of the names we don't talk about today. Some of these guys just are not priced in a range that makes sense, whether it's because of certain statistical risk of, you know, regression from last year. Maybe their team circumstances aren't great. So before we get into the specific players, I did kind of just want to ask you, more generally speaking, what kinds of players are you typically avoiding in the early rounds of drafts? And how can managers get better at identifying who those names are?
I mean, I think the first thing that really comes to mind is it's so important to separate yourself from the brain trust or the whatever you'd like to call just the larger fantasy football community. Because I think you have a tendency as somebody who loves football and loves fantasy football to talk to people, to listen to things. And I think things can catch some steam, and it's really important to be able to kind of not just latch on to every hype train that's out there. That to me is always going to be the biggest thing is, come up with your own takes, come up with your own maybe projections if that's something you have interest in, and really just try to formulate your own opinions, at least early on players, and not just kind of follow what the consensus is doing, right? I think the consensus sometimes is right to be able to be talking about these players in the way that they are, but we know that they're not always right, right? ADP is smart, but at the same time, it's not perfect, and I think ADP is a reflection of that kind of hype train, that consensus that we talk about. So I think that's one of the most important things is just being able to kind of identify those like factors of like, hey, like, you know, is this really a player that deserves to be going this high? Or are we just kind of hyping him up because we like the idea? Or for example, on the flip side of that, like today we're talking about players that I think are ranked too high. On the flip side of that, there's players that are ranked too low because maybe they're not a new name. Maybe they're not sexy. Maybe they're on the same team. Maybe they have the same coach. And it's just not necessarily an exciting thing to be talking about. And when you're not an exciting thing to be talking about, you're not going to generate hype. And when you're not going to generate hype, you're going to find yourself more times than not kind of a little bit lower down on that ADP side. So it's kind of looking at it from a more objective lens, looking at it more of like, hey, here's the player, he's on the team, here's what's possible, opposed to just catching on to what is being tossed out there and jumping on the hype train and, more importantly, maybe looking to see who doesn't have that hype train going. So I think that's like when you ask me what's, you know, how do I identify these players early on? I think the easy answer is I do projections, right? So I'm going to do early projections. I'm going to see where players come out at, and I'm going to stack that up against ADP and see where I'm off. And that's basically what I did to come up with this list is I have done my early round of projections. I know where I think I'm going to put the players. You know, projections don't equal ranks. So I'll do the projections and then I'll move those to ranks. They shift around a little bit, obviously, because you need some context to things, not just raw numbers. And then I just was like, hey, where am I really far off on some of these players in the top five rounds? And that's what made the list up today. So, I mean, I think if I'm trying to teach people how to do it, I would say, like, you know, pay attention to the greater fantasy community and what people are saying. But then if you're really interested in doing it, just run your own projections and stack it up to ADP. It's the best way to see.
Oh, 1,000%. You know, anytime you can put in that work, grind it out yourself to find those answers, it's extra gratifying too. So definitely consider doing that. But hey, worst case scenario, if you're not somebody that has the time to do all of that kind of stuff, the good news is people like Tyler do. And when you feel like consulting other people's rankings, you can go over to ftnfantasy.com and see where some of these names are. But that is getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Let's try and keep it reined into the task at hand, identifying some early round ADP values that are just not very good. And we will start with the running back position and highlight a few of the names that you have brought up in this article. And the first name that I think people really need to start thinking about a little bit more critically is the reigning Super Bowl MVP, who is no longer with the Seattle Seahawks. Ken Walker III signed a huge offseason contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be fun. You know, we'll get to see Patrick Mahomes with a real running back for the first time in a long time. That's going to be kind of neat. If he comes back from his injury and this offense looks good, it could be very exciting, but not without certain risks, Tyler, that you have identified.
Yeah, I mean, let's open this up by being clear that these are not guys that I'm out on. And I think this is such a great example because, you know, if you're first time tuning in here, that's fine. But like Herms and I have been pounding the table for Kenneth Walker for a long time. We love this guy, right? We love this guy. We drafted him a lot last year. Didn't necessarily work out. Like, yes, he did blow up in the playoffs, but it's easy to remember his playoff blow up and not his mediocre fantasy season. So this is a good example. Like, this is not me disliking Kenneth Walker. I love Kenneth Walker. I think he is an incredible talent. But his price right now is really the problem that I have. So let's just start off with what we got with Kenneth Walker. 4 years in Seattle, 3 of the 4 years played majority of the seasons, right? Finished as the RB22 last year, 28 with some injury the year before, 19 and 16. So he doesn't have a top 15 running back finish under his belt, right? In largely 3 full seasons. Like, that's just one thing to say. That's fine. I just want to kind of put that out there. I definitely think he's talented, and I definitely think he is capable of being a top 12 back. And I think we've outlined that for years together, Herms, that we believe that his talent is arguably a top 12 talent. I mean, he's a home run breaker. Sometimes he tries to go for a little bit more instead of falling for a couple yards. I think that's why he split with Charbonnet, but I digress. I think what I really want to get to here is, while I love the talent of Kenneth Walker, and I wish I could be drafting more Kenneth Walker, he's going as the RB10 overall. Like, I'm talking like beginning of the second round, and I am just not there yet for a guy who's never been an RB1. And I'll tell you why. So I think, like, first off, the thing is going to come to me is the price. Don't love it. But Andy Reid has a long history of committees. Okay. And Walker himself has also never been one to break a committee, right? Maybe he's the lead of a committee, or someone gets injured and then he becomes the lead. But you have a coach who has been committed to committees for pretty much his entire career at Andy Reid. And then you also have a player who's never really been a true bell cow. So you're basically, in my opinion, asking a coach to change his ways, which he has a long track record of not doing so. And then also a player who is not shown to be a true bell cow to eventually be one. I'm not opposed to saying that Kenneth Walker could do it. I'm not opposed to saying that Andy Reid might change his ways. But I think what I really want to look at is the bigger picture, the team picture here from the Chiefs side, is that this is a pass-heavy team. This is a team that has a lot of success throwing the football. I mean, we are just a couple years removed from calling the Chiefs a dynasty, right? And Mahomes is still young. He's still getting it done. And you just look at how the Chiefs have operated as an offense over the last couple years. 2025, I believe the Kansas City Chiefs were 6th in pass rate, so they passed at the 6th highest rate in the NFL. 2024, I believe they were 10th, passed at the 10th highest rate in the NFL, right? And I can just keep going. Let's go to 2023. They passed as the 7th highest rate in the NFL. And I could keep going, but really the picture I want to paint is, this is Andy Reid, this is Mahomes, this is a team that passes the ball first and will continue to do so. So when you add in the fact that this is going to be a pass-heavy offense, I believe it to be, I'm projecting it to be, it could be a committee. And we also have a running back who's never been, who has traditionally been in a committee. I'm not paying RB10 prices for that, man. That's kind of where I'm at with it, where I love Kenneth Walker, but his price right now sitting at the RB10 is just like, we're counting on A, him becoming a bell cow for the first time, B, Andy Reid committing to a bell cow, not for the first time, but, you know, a rare bell cow commit, and then C, the biggest C of all time. We're expecting the Chiefs to just change how they run their offense. Too much risk baked into RB10, Herms. I did a lot of talking there, but I mean, I'm pretty upset that I can't be drafting more Kenneth Walker. I'm upset that we've steamed him so high that I can't get to him, but I just got to look at it realistically, man.
No, and that's certainly fair. And I think that there are a lot of people who will look at the fact that, oh, well, Matt Nagy's not the offensive coordinator anymore. Eric Bieniemy's coming back. Well, maybe that'll actually help. Well, I mean, look, the Chiefs threw the ball a ton when Bieniemy was there the first time. So, like, I think even if somebody wanted to use that as a bargaining chip against your case, like, they always throw. It is a very throw-heavy team, kind of always has been ever since Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback. But to your point about the committee part, I decided to go look into it a little bit myself. Now, mind you, some of these numbers that I'm going to mention include running back seasons where guys got hurt. They maybe didn't play like a full 16 or 17 game schedule, something like that. But I looked at the Chiefs' leading runner over the past five seasons, just to kind of get a feel for what this sort of lead running back role actually looks like in terms of opportunity. And between Clyde Edwards-Helaire in 2020 and 2021, Isaiah Pacheco in his couple of seasons in 2022 and 2023, and then Kareem Hunt kind of leading the forces over the last couple of seasons, at no point did any of those names that I mentioned average close to 20 touches per game. I think the highest that I have marked down here is Pacheco with 17.8 per game in 2023. The highest opportunity share recorded of any of these players was Pacheco at 23.5 in 2023, which was 20th out of 49 qualified running backs in the sample. And most of these, it's below a 20% opportunity share. So, like, that is really the thing. We want to draft running backs who are going to get monster work shares if we're going to take them super high. And a lot of the data that we have just does not really support that the Chiefs are going to do that. I can cite more numbers if I want to, but obviously the point has kind of already been hammered home. It's a risk. We like Ken Walker, but we'll have to see how much they actually want him to be the lead guy and exactly what being the lead guy means. But a player that we maybe don't have to worry about that as much with is Omarion Hampton with the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, we talked about the Chargers offense plenty on this podcast when it comes to different players over the past several episodes. So I'm not going to go on any of my personal diatribes rehashing any of that information again, but I am curious to hear from you why Omarion Hampton maybe is not the best move in current ADP this year.
I mean, first of all, he's going one spot ahead of Kenneth Walker, and I'm picking Kenneth Walker over Marion Hampton, in my opinion, all day. He's going RB9 overall, 15 overall, like beginning of the second round. Man, it's the price again. It's the price. Like, I like Hampton, but I think it's just, you know, he flashed and showed some real promise in that those, you know, like, what, four or five games before the ankle injury basically shut him down. I know he came back in the season, but, like, I'm not really going to count that against him because it, you know, I think they kind of forced him back. They needed him. I don't know. But I think the Mike McDaniel thing, obviously, you can look at it on paper. Great hire, great offensive mind. But I think people are, A, overestimating how run-heavy they think this offense is going to be. I think they're just going to look at Harbaugh and think, yeah, pound the rock, look what he did at Michigan. That's fine. But, I mean, Mike McDaniel's not necessarily like, you know, I think he runs more balanced offense. So I think folks are kind of thinking they're going to be more run heavy than they are. I have them projected to be a bit more pass heavy, a more balanced approach than I think some folks are projecting. I think Keaton Mitchell is also feels like a McDaniel guy. I out of nowhere. And I think not just only McDaniel, but like the other running back on the Chargers last year. He's still on the team. Oh man,
Kamani Vidal.
He looked good, man. Looked good. And I kind of see Harbaugh being like, hey, man, this guy can run the ball. Why do we need to kind of give it all to one guy here? So from my perspective, it's really just, A, I think this is going to be a little bit more pass heavy than people think. I think we're going to see a little bit more of a split. I definitely think we're going to see more Omarion Hampton than most. You know, but I'm betting more like a 65% share. Not like a 75% share, which I think some people are thinking, more of like a leader of a committee than a bell cow. So when you kind of put those pieces together, it's like, I think there's just more risk baked in when you're paying RB9 prices, where I'm like, he's not going to get as much work as I think some people think, and the team's not going to run as much as some people think. He would feel a lot better to me to be clicking at the end of the second or beginning of the third than the top of the second. And for that reason, I just can't click him. There's guys like Derrick Henry that goes after him. I'd rather have Derrick Henry. Chase Brown, frankly, I have Chase Brown ranked ahead of him right now. Kenneth Walker is another name. And heck, I'd rather wait a round or two and just, you know, grab Breece Hall or Etienne or, you know, a couple more rounds and even like Javonte. Like, it's just that price that you're paying for Amarian Hampton, hoping that he's a bell cow and this team is a little more run heavy. That's how that has to pay off, in my opinion, for him to be drafted there. Like, I'm just not going to be passing, you know, on guys like, I mean, this is like, when I'm looking at the territory here, like, and we're talking like Drake London, Brock Bowers, AJ Brown, Nico Collins, like Trey McBride. And like, I just would rather click those names. And I think that's what it comes down to.
There are a lot of really good pass catchers in that range. And like you're saying, there are a ton of really good running backs that come a little bit later. So yeah, just looking at it positionally and the type of value that you can get elsewhere, it does make a lot more sense. And one of the reasons that I am definitely with you, you know, as promised, I'm not going to go on the Keaton Mitchell thing again. I've talked about that in previous episodes, but taking it a little bit, a slightly different direction than you were taking it. The thing about Amarian Hampton that kind of bothers me is just the pass catching upside. Like, that was something that was kind of supposed to be more of a thing. We didn't really get a ton of it last year. So I went in and I looked at his numbers and I extrapolated for a full 17 game schedule just to give people an idea of what that rate of pass catching from Hampton would have turned into. And to be fair, 66.3 targets, 61.2 catches, and 362.1 yards is not bad. That puts you in the territory of, you know, kind of close to like what Chase Brown did last year, but still like a little bit worse. And I think that is what really bothers me, especially if we are also worried about how many touches he's going to get on the ground. So yes, all of that put together, I think the combination of just what we can expect workload wise, what we can expect production wise versus the price, it's all just, it's very misaligned, especially if Keaton Mitchell or even Kamani Vidal, to your point, ends up mattering. So be advised, fantasy managers, definitely keep an eye out for that.
It's just this, these prices we're talking about with Walker and Hampton, like very little can go wrong for them to pay off at this price. Like, that is my problem here, is very little can go wrong. Like, it doesn't sound like we're nitpicking, sure. But the thing is, all these little things are adding up to risk, and we're taking these players at a spot where you can't miss. Like, a lot of people can't miss an early second pick. Like, you can recover from it, sure. But when you can take a for sure, like, elite tight end or a top 10 wide receiver, why gamble? You know, why gamble? And that's really the angle that I think I'm taking here from a more of a macro perspective.
And I don't blame you. And, you know, just another name that it was not in your article that I'm just going to throw out for free that kind of reminded me of the same thing, because I was looking at underdog ADP for the month of June, and I had seen Ashton Jeanty's name at RB5. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. You're pricing this guy higher than he finished. You're drafting him higher than you did last year. But this is with the information of how bad the Raiders are already. Like, it's you know, another good example of the same thing you're talking about. Like, you have to be so careful with how much risk a lot of that allows you depending on the price. So a very good point there for sure. And I think it's something that people should kind of consider with our final running back before we take our break and then transition to the pass catchers. Our first one that we are actually going to disagree on. I understand your case that you have made for this player. I have some interesting things that I can bring to the table as well. I will leave it up to the listeners to decide whether they agree with Herms or Tyler O when it comes to Kyren Williams of the Los Angeles Rams. But we hear your case first.
Yeah, so Kyren Williams, like, it's really tough because I really like the guy and I don't think the price is bad, but he definitely is a guy that I wish I was clicking more of, but I can't. So let's just talk about kind of like where he's going to kind of set the table here first. You know, taking a look at things, RB16, I think that price is more than fair, going around the 30. So I believe that's the third round. What really gets me is a couple things. So, you know, he has three as an RB9, RB7, and RB6 finish the last 3 years. Top 10 running back, RB16. The price should be fine. I look at the bigger picture here. The Rams are going to be great on offense. Probably Super Bowl favorites at this point in time. This is everything you want. Like the defense, like this is everything you want in a running back. I think what bothers me is traditionally, like we're seeing a lot of touchdowns out of him. Okay. He's being propped up by pretty high, in my opinion, like touchdowns, like 14 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns isn't as bad, you know, last year. And I'm a little concerned that the price has crept up to a point where maybe I'm not comfortable. And I think Blake Corum's going to be the guy that concerns me here, right? Blake Corum can't catch a cold. So I think Kyren's going to be fine in the pass catching front. And that's probably going to keep the floor there. And I get that. But more importantly, is just like, is he going to continue to get double digit touchdowns? What if they want to run Blake Corum a little bit more around the end zone? You know, if you like, it's easy to project Kyren Williams for 10 touchdowns and this price doesn't feel bad. But let's just say like touchdown variance doesn't go his way. And he scores 7 touchdowns, right? That price isn't going to pay off. So I'm not as bullish, I guess, about fading Kyren as I am the other two, but it's still a guy's name who I've not been clicking that much, as I do have some concerns of more of like a 50-50, 40, like a 55-45 split between him and Kyren. I think the floor will remain as a pass catcher, but I do have some concerns over what this ceiling could look like if the touchdown variance hits and, you know, in any way. And Blake Corum starts to cut in a little bit. So interesting to see what you have here, Herms.
Yeah, I mean, the Corum aspect of it is something that, like, I'm worried about. But because, I don't know, it was so weird toward the end of last year. I don't know if they're going to commit to it. So in terms of having, like, concrete sort of perspectives on that, I don't really have too much. But when it comes to... It's just, I mean, Corum's existence, it's fair. And when it comes to the touchdown regression stuff with Kyren, especially hitting double digits 3 years in a row, it's absolutely fair. But the only thing that kind of makes me feel pretty good about his ability to do so is just the fact that the Rams offense is just super efficient. And I was looking at some of their drive stats, courtesy of FTN Stats and Charting. Definitely go check some of that stuff out, even the stuff that's behind the paywall. Hey, if you have to sign up for a subscription to get these numbers, hey, yeah. So be it. FTNFantasy.com. Yeah, there you go. The details.
Father's Day code coming up. We'll get it at the end of the show.
Yes, of course. There we go. See, we are company men. But just looking at the Rams offense, 2023, their yards per drive ranked 8th in the league, 2024, 12th. Last year, they were 2nd. We're just talking about points per drive in 2023, 8th, 2024, 16th. Not great. But then last year, 1st. And their touchdowns per drive has pretty much always been in the top 10. They're super good at getting downfield and getting themselves in a position to score. And when they get into the red zone, Kyren Williams in 2023, 5 touches per game, 1st among running backs. 2024, 5.1 red zone touches per game, 1st among running backs. But last year, this is where it starts to get a little bit interesting. 4.1, that was 7th. So that also coincided, if we remember, they were doing a lot of those crazy things in close with the different tight end, like the very heavy tight end packages. I remember, especially toward the end of the year, that was one of the things that got people really excited about Colby Parkinson and why he was an interesting waiver wire guy. So they did change things. They did change up what they do in the red zone a little bit. So even though I'm mostly okay with the RB16 price, I think if we expect the Rams to be able to continue to maintain their, you know, yards per drive output, their touchdown per red zone trip stuff up, like they'll probably be pretty good, but it's those touches. It's little, but even going from about 5 to 4.1 last year for Kyren Williams, like it's something, because that one touch could very well be the touch that would have ended up in the end zone that you're losing. You know what I mean? So I'm torn. I am mostly on the side of being okay with it, but I think 16, RB16 is a very, like, that's right on the line for me when it comes to him.
Herms, and I think you're, honestly, you're right. And I hate to, like, you know, it's not, I guess it's not really not capitulation, but like I wrote this article about, I don't know, 6 days ago. I went and looked at my spreadsheet. He was RB13 when I wrote this, his ADP. Mm. Like, because I'm sitting here, I'm like looking at it. I'm like, 16 doesn't feel as bad. I still have him a little bit below that. But when I wrote the article of like, hey, I'm fading him at this price, it was RB13 pricing. It now is RB16. So, you know, I'm not going to completely capitulate and be like, yeah, I'm drafting him at RB16. But like, it does feel better at 16. Because when I wrote this initially saying, hey, he was faded his price, he was RB13. A couple guys have jumped him since, which like Jeremiah Love being one of them, which I think is worth the conversation. So, I like your points here, Herms. I, you know, 13 was too heavy for me. 16 feels better, but I think we're more aligned considering the shifts in the recent ADP over the last week.
No, for sure. And listeners, if Kyren's ADP does get closer to that RB1 range, then I think we can actually start to worry about that. So it's all fair to think about. It's all fair to be concerned with. And we have more like this coming up on the other side of our commercial break, talking about a handful of wide receivers that don't have great ADP price tags. Please stick with us. This is the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. Hey, everyone. C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. And better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only will you get to join in on all the NoVig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right. Unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to NoVig.us or download the NoVig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the NoVig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market. Welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast. I am Herms. He is Tyler O. And we are still discussing some horrible early round ADP values to avoid in 2026 fantasy football. We talked about running backs in the first half of the show. We are going to run through some wide receivers on the back nine here. And we're going to start with one of my favorite players in the NFL. Just full stop. I have to admit it. Okay. I'm still mad that the Pittsburgh Steelers traded him away. I don't understand why the Dallas Cowboys have to reap the benefits of George Pickens being on their roster, but it's the world that we live in. He was awesome last year, but the production came with some caveats, and the price that he's being drafted at, it's a little bit concerning, to be fair. So, Tyler, tell us more about why people might want to chill a little bit with George Pickens.
Price. That's a theme here, right? I like Pickens, but like, let's take a look at where he's going. So this is really what it comes down to. One, I think CeeDee Lamb is better than Pickens, right? All things considered, both healthy, Lamb's going to get more targets. He's the better player. Lamb is the wide receiver 6 coming at pick 10. Pickens is the wide receiver 10 coming off at the end of the second. So I think that's the biggest problem I have here. Now, I'm completely okay if you want to subscribe to they're both appropriately priced, then I'd probably almost guarantee that you have Dak Prescott ranked too low. But I am going to kind of walk it to where Pickens is going a little high, and this is more of a CeeDee Lamb led offense and pass kind of attack from my perspective. And that's just what I've seen out of these two players in this offense for a while. I just think he's really risky there, going there in the second round. Lamb, like I said, Lamb is the alpha. I think the Cowboys might be a little more balanced. Like, they've always been a good passing team, but I do think they have a world where they can be more balanced. I have a lot more going to Javonte Williams this year. I think he's actually a pretty good click after I unfortunately faded him last year. Dick Ferguson, I think, is a really good tight end that commands targets. I think you just kind of put that all together And this really just comes down to the fact that Pickens at that price, like I've said multiple times, not a lot can go wrong. If you're going to be picking him, like you'd start your drafts with Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, Bijan or something like that. And then your next pick, you're going to go wide receiver one and grab Pickens. That just feels a little too risky for me, if I'm being honest with you. He's going right next to a guy like Nico Collins and AJ Brown, who I'd much rather have. Mm-hmm. So it's really just the price here. I do think he's a talented wide receiver. Yeah, it took him a little while to break out, unfortunately, having to leave Pittsburgh to do so. I'm just not banking that he's going to be the alpha taking over for Lamb, and there's enough meat on the bone for him to return these prices as a top 10 fantasy wide receiver in 2026.
It's going to be very hard for him to do that. And I think, honestly, the part about CeeDee Lamb is really where it starts and ends. Like, as much as I love George Pickens, he is not CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is one of the best receivers I've seen in my entire lifetime. I'm not even talking about just today's game. Like, the entire time I have been on Earth watching football, CeeDee Lamb is one of the best. And when CeeDee Lamb was on the field, George Pickens still performed really, really well. But the production did go down. So I just looked at splits and I came up with a loose comparison just based off of the statistical averages to really illustrate this point for listeners. So in the 13 games that George Pickens played with CeeDee Lamb last year, he averaged 7.8 targets per game, 5.3 catches, 77.1 receiving yards. And that came out to 14.9 PPR points per game, which is a very good asset. It's a very good receiver. But those four games without CeeDee Lamb, Pickens upped his production to 8.8 targets, six catches per game, 106.8 receiving yards, and 24.2 PPR points per game. So with CeeDee Lamb in the lineup, George Pickens played basically like Drake London last year. With CeeDee Lamb out of the lineup, George Pickens was basically the equivalent of Jackson Smith and Jigba. That's a difference. That is a difference. You still want to draft players who are roughly Drake London level production, but do you really want to pay that steep of a price for it when some people are convincing themselves that he might be able to come close to that JSN quality production that he had without CeeDee Lamb? So, like, yeah, it's just something to think about. I think people really need to be mindful of that as we get deeper into the summer, and especially if his price goes any higher, because that would just be absolutely nuts. But again, it has nothing to do with the player talent, just like it has nothing to do with this player's talent. It's another really talented guy. We all really like Malik Nabers. Anybody who's listened to the show knows how we feel about Jackson Dart, at least on the field. And it's a pretty exciting time to root for the Giants, but are you hesitant about where Nabers is going in drafts, especially because of maybe some health stuff people are overlooking?
Yeah, I mean, the price continues to drive down here. He's two slots lower right now than when I wrote this. And right now he sits at 14. He was a wide receiver 12 overall. Now he's at 14. His price is now going down to, it's slipping down to the third. I'm still not sure I'm there yet. And really just, you know, comes down to the fact that, you know, issue is entirely around the injury, right? The injury just keeps giving us bad signals, bad news as we progress into the summer. The knee recovery has been described as not simple, right? Recovery seems to be a bit of a slog here. It seems as though the week one would be quite ambitious, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him start the season on the PUP list. So he needs to come down to like the fourth round before I want to take this risk. It really just comes down to the fact that while I love the talent, I'm not willing to take that risk on at the top middle of the third round. Talent's not in question here, folks. It's really just the price with the risk. Third round, a player that might miss six games to start the season. I don't think he's going to be that much of a game changer down the stretch here. While I do think he's an elite talent, that's not quite what I'm locking on to. So this all comes down to the price. Just can't click him in that kind of middle start of the third.
It's fair. And especially when we're talking about players recovering from, you know, serious ligament damage, the first year back does not always yield the most positive results. Sometimes it does take a while for dudes to get going. And the other thing is that the environment that Malik Nabers dominated in as a rookie, in which he got, I mean, I want to say it was 170 some targets. It was an obscene number that first year, but that was without other guys around him, like new tight end Isaiah Likely, who they gave a lot of money to be the new tight end, probably take over a majority share. I would not be shocked if this is the big breakout opportunity for him, especially if he's going to be without Nabers for the first few weeks and has a chance to establish himself independent of his teammates. And then, not to beat a dead horse any more than I already have over the past several months, but Malachi Fields, folks, this guy is a talented wide receiver. That it's a much more complete cast of weapons. So I think that target competition has become an issue for Nabers. And I think that, yes, if you can be the manager who maybe trades for him midseason when the person who drafts him gets pissed that he's not back, yeah, maybe you could get Malik Nabers at that point, but just don't be the guy to initially take that risk. I think you're asking a lot out of a guy who's probably not going to be ready. Way too many question marks. Just the same kind of case for the last name that I really wanted to get to. Of course, you can add some others if you want to highlight some, but Rashee Rice, talking about question marks, dude. Like, I'm not even going to bother setting it up with a premise. I think anybody who just follows football knows when it comes to Rashee Rice, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of things that we don't know what's going to happen. It's not quite as bad as last summer when we weren't sure how much of the season he was going to miss, but there are still a lot of things kind of hanging in the balance.
Yeah, man. Much like Nabers, like, I do love the player, but when this is, you know, when Rice is on the field, he's one of the more, I'd say, explosive. I don't know if explosive is the right word, but he's one of the better wide receivers in the game, if I'm being honest with him, just the way that he plays and the way the offense runs. The problem is everything happening off of it. Violating probation, knee surgery, currently recovering and rehabbing a knee injury in jail. I don't think I've ever really typed that sentence and said it before in real life. And the Chiefs don't appear to be in any rush to extend him, which I think kind of says something here. So, you know, drafting him at his current price, again, like, I'm looking at him, and he's right there with Malik Nabers, wide receiver 12 overall. He's top of the second, top of the third round. The risk is I need him to drop before I'm in. Nabers and Rice are not wide receivers that I'm comfortable taking in the top and middle of the third round right now. Just, I like taking risks. I'm a risky fantasy football player, and that one is just too much. I wish I had more to kind of talk through, but I mean, rehabbing a knee injury in jail, not his first issue off the field. I try to look at it from a fantasy lens and be like, let's project 17 weeks. What's it going to look like? And you just kind of start stacking the pieces together, man. I can't pay that price. I'm out.
I don't blame you. And the thing that frustrates me the most about Rashee Rice is that, you know, especially the last two seasons, like, when you put those sample sizes together and look at his production, just efficiency wise, the target shares that he's been able to secure, like, it's been super impressive. But we're talking about, in each of the last two seasons, if I remember correctly, like, single digit game sample sizes. Like, that's the really hard part for me. Like, if you put it all together, yes, this guy has a track record of being dominant when he is out there, but the ability to be out on the field is kind of the most important thing you need to bring to the table as a football player, or really just an athlete in general. If you're not out there playing the sport that you have been paid millions of dollars to play, you're going to have a bad time, especially when it comes to the fantasy aspect. So yeah, I am a little bit worried about that. And especially with the fact that, you know, it kind of calling back to what we were talking about earlier, like, a lot of this success that he had came with an offensive coordinator who's not there anymore. Eric Bieniemy, if I remember correctly, I don't think his time with Kansas City overlapped with Rashee Rice. I think that by the time Rashee Rice came into the NFL, Bieniemy had already taken the OC job with the Commanders and then, you know, bounced around doing different things, you know, since then. But, like, that is a huge question mark. We don't exactly know how that role is going to be kind of reshaped with a different guy sort of calling the shots. Like, yes, it's still Andy Reid. He is still the mastermind of the entire thing. Like, I don't want to completely cheapen that, but there is something to be said for the fact that it is a different coordinator that Rashee Rice has not played. So there's something to it. I think that once we get, you know, more clarity with if he is going to be suspended for anything like that, just keep up with the news. I think it's going to be beneficial to you. Keep up with ADP changes and keep up with us at FTNFantasy.com, especially when we're dropping articles like the one we talked about today, or my weekly fantasy face-off series is coming out. I've got a really fun one coming up about a couple other wide receivers that's going to be dropping tomorrow. By the time that everybody hears this, it will be tomorrow, Wednesday. That's how I've chosen to end the show. Yes, there we go. That's what we're doing. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in for another edition, and we will talk to you about something else related to 2026 fantasy football next week. Adios, friendos. Think of better for- Staying up and sleeping.